It is Today FM, and if you hadn't heard, there's a massive event happening on the 27th of November. That's right, INXS Live Baby Live is in cinemas for one night only on Wednesday, the 27th of November. And to pre-book tickets and find your local screening, all you got to do is go to allthews.inxscinema.com. I'm delighted to have Tim Farris and Kirk Pengilly on the line. Hello, gentlemen.
Hello.
G'day.
We're about 3 years out from the 50-year anniversary of Guinness the Band set up in 1971.
That's very true.
That's exactly right, yeah.
That was kind of where it all started first before it kind of kicked into INXS. The Live Baby Live, this is huge. Like, this was restored from 35mm footage.
The great thing is that we actually recorded it on 35mm film when video was kind of really taken hold of sort of the visual medium, and having it recut into HD 4K, it's so rich and colourful, and there's so much depth to it.
I couldn't get over how clear and crystal it was when the 60 comes on. It's like, wow.
Pretty special.
It was daunting to watch for the first time for me. I saw it in a cinema by myself. It was a surreal experience. I'd never seen ourselves on a silver screen before, you know, so it was daunting and quite emotional.
Tim, I wondered about this actually, because you saw this in Sydney, and as you sat down, you're on your own. It's amazing. Like, was there parts of it where you were kind of like, can I get up and clap? Or, you know, what can I do?
Because I'm trying to. Yeah, it was exactly like that. That's it. I kept looking around, like thinking, I wish there was someone else here. I wish I could see someone else's reaction or what other people might think, because it's really hard when you know it's you. But having said that, it was 30 years ago, so it wasn't too difficult to put yourself out of realm and see it for what it is. And the thing that blew me away was that it was just the six of us just playing our instruments. There was no bells and whistles. It was us doing the thing, and we kept that audience literally in the palm of our hand, especially Michael, for the entire time of the show.
July 13th, 1991, which is 6 years to the day after Live Aid, 5 years after you'd done the Queen Sport and the Magic Tour. That was after X was in the charts for 8 months. That's an interesting part for INXS, and I want to talk about that, because in the 80s, you guys came over from Australia, and you had a similar audience to Queen. So I think South America was kind of where it really hit off first, was it?
That's right.
Yes.
Yeah. Exactly right. And, you know,
especially the X album, actually.
Yeah. But, you know, it's funny. We started touring South America back in the very early 80s because our manager, Chris Murphy, thought that, well, if it's all right for Queen, I mean, that up until Live Aid, they'd lost their popularity.
Yeah.
But it remained popular in South America. So he had this idea, well, South America's obviously got millions of people. It's an important part of the world to tour. So we started touring there, and we always have and still have this huge fan base there. And so there's a lot of similarities. It's ironic that we ended up touring with Queen and became mates with them, and the two singers were, while our worlds apart, they were both so enigmatic in their own way.
Yeah, and this is a beautiful time. I mean, like, you have Michael and Freddie in a room in Montreux singing together, and you're mates.
Yeah, well, that was a freaky thing. At the time, I knew it was a special moment. Two of them singing together was great. I mean, it was really fun. I mean, I guess at least Bowie and Freddie recorded it, you know. I wish we had.
You know, that's a moment that you will have forever, and I don't think anyone can ever that from you. And I'm kind of glad there was no iPhones or things around that time. You've had a lot of pinch me moments, though. Playing with Ray Charles, you know what I mean? Like Tom Jones, singing with you. You guys have done it all, been on Letterman Live. That's just nuts.
Doing Letterman Live with Ray Charles, that was a great moment.
Come on.
Yesterday, you can care all you want. Everybody does, yeah, that's okay, yeah. So slide over here and give me a moment. Your moves are so raw. I've got to let you know. I've got to let you know. You're one of my kind.
I want to talk about Kick for a minute, because This is sixth studio album, right, Kick, 1987, right? And Chris goes and he brings this to the record company and they ain't having, Doug isn't having any of this.
Yeah, the US record company, yeah. Yeah, it was pretty mad. And of course, Chris didn't tell us because he didn't want to demotivate us or anything. And he went off and kind of formed his own little rebel team at Atlantic that actually did love the album and got them to work it. And we didn't really find out about any of that until much later on, which was kind of cool, you know, cool that he kept it from us.
From my read on it, it was kind of a beautiful monster because Doug had said to Chris, like, you know, something along the lines of, you know, I'll give you £1 million to go back and re-record a new album. But then you guys, you went off on a college tour, which is kind of what and that's where that's right. They all jumped on. Yeah, tell me about that.
Yeah, that's where it kind of broke. I mean, he should have taken the $1 million and we should have just hid for 3 months and then played the same album to him again and he probably would have gone, that's awesome. We would have pocketed $1 million.
That's when you really put all your eggs in the one basket and go, right, this is going to work, and I admire that because it really did. Over here in Ireland, like, Kick is an album, like, new sensation, Never Tear Us Apart, Need You Tonight. I mean, but there's one there for you, Never Tear Us Apart. There's a song that is one of the biggest songs, biggest anthems of the 80s, and that was originally a piano song?
Yeah, yeah. Mm. When Andrew originally wrote it, it was kind of a, you know, a vampy sort of bluesy track,
Billy Joel almost.
Yeah, and we'd actually encouraged just before going in to record the Kick album, we'd actually decided we would buy Andrew this new keyboard because he didn't want to really buy it, and it was an emulator. It was one of the first, you know, real sort of portable sample keyboards that had real sounds in it, real orchestra sounds and all that. And so we were in the studio and Chris had suggested he just, you know.
Chris Thomas.
Yeah, Chris Thomas, our producer, suggested that Andrew just, well, why don't you play that riff, but just hear some different sounds, you know, with the emulator, because it was this new fandangled keyboard. And as soon as the string sound came up, everyone just went, oh, that's it, you know. Mm. And it did change the feel of the song. It made it far more sort of romantic and kind of, I don't know, personable.
And the video clip would never have worked in Prague without those strings.
Yeah, that's exactly right.
But the yearning cry, Kirk, of that saxophone in that song, wow.
Thanks, mate. It's
all he played on the song.
Yeah, that's all I played.
We do the rest.
No, actually, I did play some keyboards on it as well.
Oh, yeah, sure.
But I remember Chris Thomas made me play it about 100 times. Once I'd written the actual part, he made me play it over and over and over until I wanted to kill him. And he said, yep, we got the take.
Oh, I love it. I love it. Listen, Tim, Kirk, a pleasure to talk to you guys. Legends of the industry. Thank you so much for taking the time out to talk to me.
Thanks, Phil.
All the best.
Fergal Darcy
with Top Oil, weekdays from 2
on Today FM.